Uniform Talk Day, July 9th, 2025. The Alt uniforms were unveiled by the team this morning on social media. They look great. They are championship era uniforms, Super Bowl era uniforms. They're going to wear them three times in 2025. They are allowed to wear Alt uniforms. We have confirmed that up to four times a year now. Last year, the rule was three, but they changed the rule to up to four times. So we don't know what they'll do with that fourth opportunity. Maybe they won't utilize it. They should with the uniform that they just unveiled. It's possible, though, that it could be the alt-black uniform that they wear in their other alt-uniform game opportunity. We'll see. But my thoughts are really simple, you know. I love it. I love what they did with it. It's a total throwback. It's a total feel when you look at it that you're looking at your team, minus the logo on the helmet. It is, I do think, step one to something that will eventually become more permanent, maybe next year, maybe in 2027. It's a real indication for me, another one, that this ownership group, this front office, everybody associated with this team, they're competent. They have knowledge of the history of this team. They have empathy. They have a feel for the fan base. And by the way, that includes understanding how important the name has been. Trust me. You know, I told you back in October about these uniforms that they would unveil for the 2025 season as alts. And I told you that same day that they are certainly and had been for a while, you know, dealing with the name issue and what they would do. And it was still in play back in the early portion of the season, maybe even into the middle or even latter portion of the season. But the season was too great last year, and it gave them the path of least resistance. I don't agree with their decision on that, but I also understand how difficult it was to come up with something new. But I think on this, man, I think they nailed it. I really do. And I think, you know, this organization's in a completely different place, thank God, than it was. And we all wish the old name was back and it hadn't been lost and all of that was part of it without Dan. But what they've been able to control for the most part, this being one of those things, they certainly got this right. And I do think the logo is still in play. It's not a part of what we saw unveiled this morning. But I think the logo is still something that will be a part of the branding, whether it's the uniform or whether it's something else. I don't think the logo is dead. I think the name Redskins is, but I don't think the logo is, because that was never something that was controversial. All right, we'll do one more segment of calls here. Thomas has been on hold for a while. Thomas is calling from South Carolina. Thomas, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah, no, I'm giving you a call. Yeah, I mean, I really love the uniforms. I mean, of course, we all want the old name and the old logo back, but I think the uniforms look great. I do think they missed an opportunity here in really having that fourth alt. Why not have that for the Madrid game? You know what I mean? We're playing against Miami. They should.
Well, that's a road game. That's a road game. Yeah.
Could they not work that with Miami and have them wear their deal?
I think,
you know,
this early, if you're going to announce the games, I don't. You know what? Maybe that is the fourth opportunity. Maybe they're saving it for Madrid, and they've got to work it out with the Dolphins. Who knows? Maybe that's another surprise announcement coming in the next few weeks or right before the season starts. I don't know. It's not a bad idea, but you don't get to pick the uniform when you're the road team, and Washington is the road team in the Madrid game.
Gotcha. I think
you don't get to, I'm sorry. You don't get to pick first. Meaning dark or white.
First,
so if the Dolphins wore white in that game, Washington wouldn't be able to wear this alt uniform.
Gotcha. Yep. And then the only other thing, the one caller earlier had mentioned, like, hey, I don't know if these are going to sell. These are going to sell. I could tell you right now, because I think there's been a lot of pent-up demand for Washington gear, and this is the closest thing that we've had in a long time. I think these are going to sell, and I think this is going to be a big step forward in really trying to help, you know, get those sales going again. I'm just wondering, does this help push it over the finish line for the stadium deal? I mean, Tuesday is going to be the deadline for the exclusivity rights. Does this sort of kind of call back to our old selves? Does this help push this over the line? I don't know. You know,
I don't think that this is going to impact the city council voting on the RFK deal one way or the other. That I can't think of why it would. Okay. I'm not saying that it won't, but I can't think of a logical reason as to why this announcement with the throwback uniforms would, you know, influence any city council member on this deal. But anyway, thanks for the call, Thomas. Yep. Appreciate it. Let's go to Andrew in Chester. Andrew, is that Chester Town? Go ahead.
It's Chester, Maryland. We're like in the middle of Kent Island. So
yeah, that's where, well, where
so
I thought. Okay.
Yeah, but thank you so much for not only this show, but for your podcast as well, Kevin. It's always a great listen to you. As far as anything on the step they're taking with these alternate jerseys, it just reaffirms for me already, and I had the same passion as you when it came to the name and everything else. There's not much really add there without repeating anything that's already been said. But this tells me that the franchise has taken the steps in the right direction. I feel good about that. I felt good about that in February when Josh Harris came out after a great season, told us where they were on the name. I was like, you know what? I've all of a sudden forgotten about it. I feel good now. It's weird how that happens.
I didn't feel good that day, but I understood it to a certain degree, but I didn't feel good. Yeah. But continue. I know what you're saying.
It wasn't quite a spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down, but it did
a
little bit.
You're right. At least he said something and didn't deflect, which he had done for, you know, about a year and a half, or for about a year at that point. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And the whole thing about it resonates here and didn't mention the fans, you had a take on that, and I feel very similar to that, too. I'm like, we're where it's at. You know, we're the ones that are really kind of dictating what's important. And as you can see by this show here, you can do an entire show. You could do an entire week talking about this, and there's going to be a passion about it. So for all those naysayers out there that were saying that this was stupid, we should be focusing on the stadium and all this kind of stuff, I'm like, we could walk and chew bubblegum, too. We don't have to be suit and tie fans here. You know, we have a passion for this stuff, too, because laundry and logos matter. But one thing I wanted to pivot to was the song. We can't be Commanders anymore. I'm not just talking about broadly. It just sounds wonky. Even Andy Pollin, I think, said this once, and I was agreeing with him. It's like, it just is too many syllables. It's too wonky. Let's Go has been overused a million times, but that's the only thing that I can think that could work. You could do something like Let's Go Commanders, Hail Victory, Be Brave on the Warpath, and Fight for Old DC. Keep everything else the same. I'd hate to lose the melody. I'd hate to lose the cadence, but hopefully Campbell Soup president, I can't remember his name, can make
Mark
this
song
good. Yeah, hopefully there could be some editing in that. I respect him and what he could do. Like, with all things, I feel good about what's going on going forward, but I would hope that's the next step, because the Hail thing just ain't working anymore. It's too clunky and just kind of sounds off. But I don't think it could be Hail and Commander. Different.
I have musicians in my family. I will defer to them and anything that they think about the name. But what you first said is, you know, so true about, and I mentioned this last week when they just put out the teaser that the alt uniform would be unveiled on July 9th today. And I said, look at the number of views. Like, anybody, and I know there are people, I think, you know, I don't listen to everything in this town, but I know people have told me that there are people in media that laugh at that, at people like me that think this is a big topic. You know, already on this tweet of the alt uniform, they've got 1.2 million views, and it's not even 3 hours old at this point. They don't have anything resembling this since their last game. Like, of course this matters. Of course people care about this. And by the way, thank God people like Josh Harrison, Mark Ein, and Mitchell Rales don't listen to people who just got here 10 minutes ago and think it's stupid that we still talk about the name and the uniforms. And I'm not saying that everybody that feels like it's a stupid topic just got here 10 minutes ago, but the people that got here just 10 minutes ago that weigh in on this, you're entitled. You're just not part of the family conversation. And nothing, you know, there's so many indications, you know, including all of the polling and everything else. I was told, by the way, that poll for the Post that came out, remember, a few weeks ago, I was out when that came out, Max, and then we talked about it when I got back. They couldn't believe there are people in within the, you know, walls of Ashburn could not believe that that percentage of people that were okay with the Commanders wasn't much higher, which was my exact reaction. I'm like, when you go 12-5 and win two road playoff games, that number's got to be higher. Yeah, this is an issue.
Yeah,
it's been an issue, and it's going to continue to be an issue. But the further you get away from it, obviously you're going to attract a whole new, younger fan base, and winning matters. Like, again, like you said, we can do more than one thing at the same time. Winning matters, and you can still also feel the way you want to feel about the name, the branding, the uniforms, everything else. Anyway, thanks.
Does this have a negative impact on their revenue in any kind of way, do you think? Like, because
what'd you say? I'm sorry.
There, like, when, like, back in February, one of my big worries was when, it made me hopeful when Harris said, we're going back to our brand. And I'm like, well, are you not trying to sell any merchandise this year? Because if you've given people that carrot that you're going back to your brand, ain't nobody buying the Louisville jerseys. Ain't nobody buying anything else. They're going to hold out and wait for this. Do you think that's
going to affect the Jaden jersey is still among the top selling, though, Thomas. That Jaden Daniels jersey has sold a lot. I mean, Max can look it up in terms of where they are, you know, where it is. But I know at the end of this season, Jaden had a top two or three jersey in the league sold.
Yeah.
Thanks. Let me get to some other calls. I appreciate it. Samaj has been on hold. Samaj, go ahead.
Hey, Coach. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Most of all, thanks for expanding the topic, man, because it didn't look like I was going to be it again. And you best believe I would have waited till the next time I had an opportunity, because you know how I am of dual minds. I want to start off by what I was going to end with is what Doc is adamant about. Like, at the bottom line, he's absolutely correct. The winning is the tall tale of all of this, because we wouldn't even have this much of a firestorm about the conversation if it wasn't for a 12-5 record right in our back pocket from last season. So winning does carry it all, and there's no disputing that. So I just want to make sure I spoke to that before I went petty. So now I'm going to go petty, Kevin. All right. Now, you and I, sir, have been usually on the same page most of the time, but not with this one, Kev. And my thing is, I'm not going to say I don't see how you don't get it, because I didn't get it for the longest. It just smacked me in the cheekbone like a Tyson right hook of an epiphany. So I'll say this. I love the uniforms. I'm thrilled it's back. But in my mind, Kev, it's incomplete. They did not nail it. It's incomplete, and it's incomplete because they don't have the logo. And here's my thoughts on the logo. First of all, the current brass and ownership still owns the logo right, which most of the Redskin nations knows. Most of the Burgundy Gold nation knows. We still own the rights. If you didn't know, we do. We own the rights to the logo. That said, the logo bearer is a rendition of the buffalo nickel of an actual tribal chief. What's his name?
Blackie Wetzel.
Whitehead. No.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right there. Now, Walter Blackie Wetzel is the chair of a national Native American organization, which has also embraced the logo. Not necessarily the name.
Blackie
but the
Wetzel's
logo.
Not alive anymore, but his grandson, I think his name's Ryan, is a big part of handling it for the family. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So anyway, my point with all that, Kevin, and like I said, it just hit me out the blue, and maybe it'll do the same for you. We're talking chief. A chief in wartime is a commander. It's
right.
The perfect fit.
Okay, Samaj, we're not far apart on this. I would prefer the logo to be back and be a part of it.
Yes, I think you do.
And I said they nailed it. I just wish the logo were a part of it. And I think there's a possibility it will be in the future. I think there's a chance.
I agree, and I hope it is a chance, but I hope they go full-time. Not part-time, full-time. And I also want it back at the 50-yard line. There's just no reason to not keep the logo. And I'm all good with the W as well. Don't get rid of the W. W is dope. Just slide it down to the pants. Put it on the hip. Keep the W, because I've also embraced – Hail to the W. I like that. I care less about the song. I always thought the song was corny, but I'm embracing the phrase Hail to the W. So I like that. And other than that, right, man, I'm good. And then lastly, Kevin, on the black unis, my only issue is, like I said, I'm being petty, but the burgundy trim on the black unis needs to be expanded so we can really see the burgundy. Okay. As they are right now. I think
all of your suggestions, you're not getting any pushback from me. So I think we were more in agreement. It just sounds like you're not in the camp of when you looked at it, you're like, they nailed it. I was, but I recognize that the old logo wasn't a part of it, but my expectation was that it was not going to be a part of it for this iteration anyway. Thanks, Samaj. Jason and Laurel, this is the last one and the last call we've got time for. Jason, finish it up. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Kath. No problem. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. Like you, I love it. And I'm also not surprised, probably like you as well, that this firestorm was caused today. I hope the black jerseys are still going to hang around because I actually like that too. I have a black Jaden Daniels jersey. It's really a very few pieces here I have. And I was telling your screener that it's interesting, and I've heard this, and I don't know that I've seen it. I've heard that the gear that has the W on it sells, any gear that has Commanders on it.
Yes,
doesn't really
I've heard
sell.
That too.
I don't
too.
Own any Commanders gear.
Yeah.
Everything I have is either Redskins or a W.
I've got some things with W on it. I would never purchase anything or even accept anything with Commanders on it. I'm with you.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, and I feel bad for Harris. He's in a bad spot to make
Your
everybody
phone
happy.
Is bad,
but
Jason.
I want to give everybody this parting thing.
Here, go ahead.
I don't know if the conversation's over. When the new stadium's built, there's a possibility then. I don't.
Maybe. No, the old name, no. I don't. Look, thanks for the call. Your phone was choppy. Look, I guess, like with anything in life, you should never say never. I just know, as of now, the people that would be involved and, you know, would have to say yes to it are saying never. By the way, I was thinking about the black alts. I bet you that fourth alt uniform is black and it's Monday Night Football against the Bears because that's what they were wearing on the Hail Mary, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I bet you that's the fourth game and they wanted to wear black at home against the Bears on Monday Night Football. That's just a guess. Nobody's told me that. I have people checking to see why they don't have an announcement on the fourth opportunity for an alt. I'm just guessing the black alt Monday Night Football at home against Chicago. Mike Rizzo was on with the Junkies. You'll hear some of what he said earlier, and then we're going to finish up the show talking to somebody who competed against and knew Tim Strachan very well. For those of you who remember Tim, know Tim, and maybe aren't familiar with Tim. Tim passed away yesterday. He is flat out one of the greatest local high school athletes ever. We will talk about Tim's life with Kevin Ricca at 12:40. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Were you given an ultimatum to fire Davey that would have maybe saved your job? Because that is what fans think.
Again, discussing it. We had a lot of discussions over the 20 years I've been here. August 24th is my 19th year anniversary would have been. And so we've got a lot of water under the bridge. We've had a lot of decisions to make. We've had a lot of discussions, arguments, yelling matches, hugs, and kisses.
It's not a no.
Mike Rizzo with his first public appearance since being fired on Sunday along with Davey Martinez. He was on his normal spot with the Junkies this morning here on the Team 980 and on the Fan 106.7.3. There were a few sound bites, a few questions that he answered, a lot that he kind of ducked, and the guys did a great job of trying to get a lot out of him. But Mike's a first-class guy, always has been, but there was a little bit that was there you could certainly take as implication. I said this the other day, You know, it's interesting because unlike Ernie Grunfeld, who was also very well liked by people who worked with him, for him, and by people who dealt with him, like media members, unlike Ernie, Mike Rizzo won a world championship as a general manager and had an incredible 8-year run from 2012 through 2019, where his baseball team made the postseason 5 out of 8 years and won more games than any team in the sport, with the exception of one, the Los Angeles Dodgers. And there were incredible memories made for, you know, such a young, without baseball for 34 years, market. And, you know, we'll always have those painful memories. Game 5 against the Cardinals, Game 5 at home against the Dodgers. You know, the loss to the Cubs, losing to the Cubs as well in 5 games after Strasburg had pitched so heroically, even though he was sick in Game 4. So many of those memories that were so crucial to building a bond between something new and a town. And he was the steward over that as the general manager. And really, I'm telling you guys, a guy's guy. Like, everybody that was around Mike or had a chance to, you know, have a couple of beers with Mike or hang out with Mike, he was a good guy. But there were reasons. His drafting record, you know, 2012 through 2021, disastrous drafting and developing. Trade-wise, phenomenal. So he was on with the Junkies this morning. You heard him answering the question on, you know, and without really answering it, did the Lerners give you an ultimatum to fire Davey Martinez? It sounds, based on his answer, if you're reading tea leaves, that perhaps they did. He was also asked, did you feel handcuffed by ownership in free agency? Here's what he said.
You know, the secret of being a good executive and a good general manager is you do the best you can with what you have. And we've all gone through this, whether you're in baseball or in life in general. You do the best with what you have, and we, you know, we didn't in ownership size, we didn't do enough with it, and so they made a change.
All right, so I had two questions for you, Mike, and I'm gonna preface this by saying I'm a fan of the team before I am a radio host. So I've always taken the position, and maybe I'm dumb, maybe I'm just, I actually think I am dumb, but beyond that, like, I've always just taken this position that, okay, it makes sense to me. Maybe ownership and management, whatever, decided we're not going to invest a lot of money in this team right now as we rebuild. And as we get closer, we're going to start spending money again like we did back in the day, you know, when Ted was around. Will ownership, in your opinion, spend money again to make this team competitive, or are we going to become the Pirates? Because as a fan, that's like, I can't even fathom that.
Yeah, I mean, without taking a shot at the Pirates, you know, they haven't won in, you know, since 1979. So right. You know, we've had very, very current successes, a long streak of them. We had a really a 8-9 year run of it.
No doubt.
I think that separates us from. But you
in the future though
to lump us into a group that hasn't won in years and hasn't been competitive in years. I think that it's a false narrative. To answer your question, I hope they do. To me, it's a smart business move to do, because when it's time to go, you should go.
All right. How about this,
that
Mike?
That doesn't mean to pour in, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on the free agent market alone, but make trades, take on contracts, you know, do a Gio Gonzalez trade and extend them for a long term and that type of thing. So there's ways to do this the right way for extended success. And I think that there's a blueprint on how to do it already written in the files in Nationals Park.
That, by the way, is feisty Italian Mike Rizzo, whose grandfather Vito was a semi-pro baseball player back in the day, saying, don't lump us in with the Pirates. They haven't won since 79. We are family, those Pirates. We won a World Series title and for 8 years participated in the postseason five times. I love that part of the answer. But he also essentially implied, look, there are ways to do it because we did it without being the biggest spending team in baseball. Lastly, they asked him about this criticism. I'm not saying it's new because I, you know, if you followed the team, you know, this has been for the analytics people, they have discussed the Nats as way behind the times when it comes to data-driven decision-making, analytics, etc. So he was asked about what he thought about those that think the Nats need to be more analytically and data-driven.
I know you're sensitive to this idea that the Nats are behind the curve analytically. What do you have to say to people, and especially even some quotes from some
in the media too,
some guys saying, hey, it's going to be totally different now, right? They're going to embrace analytics more. What do you say to that?
Yeah, embrace analytics, embrace scouting, embrace whatever you have to embrace. You got to win. And if you win four divisions in 6 years and you win a world championship in 8 years, then you succeeded. And if you didn't, all the computers and all the scouts and all the development people in the world have failed. And there's a lot of ways to win in this game, and there's a lot of ways to build championship rosters, and when you have people with smart ideas and diverse opinions, and that I think that's the healthiest thing you could have. We had it here, and I think that that's the reason we had such success in the organization.
Mike Rizzo, on with the Junkies earlier this morning. You can listen to the whole thing by going to the 106.7 The Fan website. How do people listen to that interview? Is by going to the Junkies on Twitter and linking to it, so Max?
Yeah, you can go on the Odyssey app.
I should know. It's pretty bad.
No,
my fault.
Good. You can go on the Odyssey app and play it back anytime with the playback.
The Odyssey app, of course. Yep. Yeah. Okay. It was a good interview. Mike, you know, ducked a lot, but also you could tell, and they asked the questions that would at least give him a chance to go on, and you could tell how he kind of really felt. I wish him the best, and I wish the new people the best. Meantime, by the way, they did start last night with their new interim manager, Miguel Cairo, and their new interim GM, Mike DiBartolo, and they lost 4-2 in St. Louis in that first game without him. James Wood, another RBI, even though he struck out three times. All right, when we come back, yesterday, somebody very important to this DMV area passed away, too young. We'll talk about him with one of his longtime friends and even going way back in the day, competitors. Next, Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, here's what's trending. Chet Holmgren has agreed to a rookie max extension with the Oklahoma City Thunder with 5 years and worth up to $250 million. Tampa Bay Bucks left tackle Tristan Wirfs will begin the season on the PUP list following a knee injury sustained last season. He will miss the first four games. And the Nats, they fall to the Cardinals by a score of 4-2. Jake Irvin goes six innings with getting three strikeouts and giving up three hits. C.J. Abrams went 2-for-4 with two singles. The Nats continue their series in St. Louis tonight. 7:45 is the first pitch. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 7:15 on The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Yesterday, Tim Strachan passed away at the age of 49 years old. So many people in our community know Tim, worked with Tim, competed against Tim back when he was in high school before his very tragic accident, which put him in a wheelchair for the rest of his life when he was in a body surfing accident in Bethany Beach before his senior year in high school. I got a chance to get to know Tim over the years, called a couple of Maryland football games when Johnny couldn't make them, three of them, in fact, and loved working by his side. And he passed away yesterday, and it's a hurt for a lot of people, including his best friend for a long time, not just a friend, but a competitor when you go all the way back to Kevin Ricca's days at St. John's, when Tim was legitimately, guys, legitimately one of the top two or three quarterback prospects in the country with Peyton Manning. It was basically in a lot of the, you know, when you looked at the, a lot of the 93 high school rankings, it was Peyton 1, Tim Strachan 2. He was a phenomenal athlete, phenomenal all-around athlete before that accident, before his senior year in high school. But Kevin competed against him. Tim was at DeMatha playing for, by the way, one of the great coaches ever in Bill McGregor. Also played for Morgan Wooten, played basketball. I mean, you're talking about a guy who played for two Hall of Fame coaches in two different sports. Kevin joins us right now. So the first thing, Kevin, obviously, is I'm so sorry for the loss. I know how many of you are hurting. And by the way, let me just send my condolences out to, you know, Rich, who I've gotten to know a little bit, and Mary, his parents, and Leslie, the kids, and you know, Brett, Bo, Pooh, all of the members of the Strachan family. But sorry for the loss, but I wanted to have you on because nobody knew him better and could talk about Tim better than you could. So what are your thoughts today?
Well, I appreciate you having me on here, Kevin, to talk about the man, and we could go on for hours, and we have been for the last week over at Sibley Hospital. Not a great venue for that, but the stories were tremendous nonetheless, and I'm glad you mentioned all the Strachan family, what strength and resolve they showed. And let me be the first one to say, Miss Leslie Strachan was the strength, the MVP, the anchor. She ran the show, and their love story was a beautiful one, and I got front row seats to that this week, so I wanted to make sure we started off with Mrs. Leslie Strachan being tough as nails. And she was remarkable. So,
you know, I think a lot of people listening that certainly know Tim's story, and look, he called football games with Johnny, Maryland football games, for years. I mean, he's been working with you calling WCAC games for years, and he was really good, and I got a chance just on a couple of occasions to work with him and really enjoyed it. But, you know, a lot of people want to know what Tim was, you know, as a man for sure, but let's go back to what a great athlete he was. He's one of the better all-around athletes this area's ever produced. What was he like as a football player and as a basketball player, as an all-around athlete back in the early 90s?
Well, I got to tell you, Kevin, back in the early 90s, I didn't have a clue because I just wanted to beat him, and I thought about beating him every day. That guy was a big, huge dude.
He was
a
big
child when we were kids.
Yeah.
He was, and I wasn't. But I, you know, as a competitor, you have to think you're the best. You have to at all times, or why show up? And it took me until after college, coming back and putting film in, I said to my dad, why didn't someone tell me how much better T was than I was at the quarterback position? Holy moly. But as a basketball player, that was my first love. And T and I just played relentless hoops. We played in a game against each other at American University. DeMatha was undefeated, had a 30-game win streak, a 40-game win streak, 30-0 the year before, number one team in the country. And T and I, he guarded me. Morgan Wooten put him in against his old buddy to guard him, a little head games out of Coach Wooten versus Coach Gallagher. And it was pretty remarkable that we were actually guarding each other on the basketball court at that level. And growing up with T, switch hitter, barreled up everything from the left side oppo. This dude had a beautiful swing, hated the sport. It was way too slow for him. It was not his thing, but he could have done that anywhere. Would have been a Division I basketball scholarship two guard had he not played football. Under the tutelage of Morgan Wooten, I don't think anyone's doubting that.
It's really incredible because we know, and everybody that remembers Tim as a high school athlete, and you do much more than people who are a little bit older like I do. I was just watching occasionally. How good of a college quarterback would he have become at Penn State?
Well, let me first off and say he would have been playing in the league. I've been riding around with him one way or another in a limousine on Super Bowl weekend for years, whether he was playing in it or we were just partying, because he was that level. He would have been an immediate impact player at Penn State. Brilliant, brilliant football brain.
Did he commit to Penn State? I forget. Did he commit to Penn State or not?
He did not commit to Penn State, but okay. I will say this. I heard you talking about Peyton Manning earlier. We're over at Brian McCarthy's house, a high school All-American football receiver, son of Brendan McCarthy.
Yep.
The math of just amazingness there. We're over at his house, and T gets a call from Rich Strachan, and T's all bent out of shape, and he's stammering around the pool house, and he's mad. Peyton, we all thought, was going to Ole Miss, and T had an amazing visit down at Tennessee, and his dad called to say Peyton just committed to Tennessee. And T was all torn up about it, but Kevin, I reminded him that Gettysburg and Catholic University were really vying over my Division III services at the time.
Well, it's a good thing Catholic won that battle, because you're one of the all-time, I think you're still the all-time leading passer in Catholic football history. So,
well, let's just say I wasn't following where Peyton was going.
Yeah. So you think he would have been playing in the league. And that's the thing about people who got to know Tim later in life, obviously for obvious reasons. You know, he was 6'4", like 220 as a high school quarterback, right?
He was a tank. I mean, he was, as a sophomore, he was always bigger than everybody. He really was just that size. If you see this picture of him on, in a gray t-shirt playing 7-on-7 at 17 years old. He is a horse, man. His legs are trunks. He was the prototype. He threw the ball with such feathery touch, but if he needed a little zip on it, he could. And I've been in a huddle with this guy. I mean, there is not one variable you could have told me aside from injury, and unfortunately that's exactly what held him up from getting to the top, to the apex of the sport that he loved the most.
We're talking to Kevin Ricka. Kevin, in his own right, was a phenomenal athlete from the DMV, went to St. John's, then is truly one of the all-time great players in the history of Catholic football. Tim Strachan passed away yesterday. He had been sick with cancer for about a year, and Tim was one of the best athletes to ever play sports in the DMV at DeMatha in the early 90s before his accident that paralyzed him in the summer before his senior year. And as mentioned, I mean, he and Peyton were basically, you know, 1-2 in terms of quarterbacks in that class. You know, Tim was so good on the broadcasts, and he's worked with you on a lot of WCAC broadcasts, football and basketball. He never let his situation sort of deter him from telling a great story and being so inspirational as a storyteller and speaker. Did you ever think, because I remember working with him occasionally, and I'm like, man, you would have been a hell of a coach. Why do you think he didn't pursue that more, you know, passionately?
I think he was having such a good time calling games with the legendary Johnny Holiday. And, you know, T didn't get that typical college experience when we all got to get away. You know, he lived at home for a majority of the time, the entire time, and commuted down to College Park. So I think getting out on the road for some of those road games, he just fell in love with it. And the relationship he had with Johnny Holiday, I think he always thought he could coach or he would coach. And I think with T, life just happened, you know, when his gorgeous daughters, Sophie and Livy, were born. You know, that kind of put a little hitch in that as well. But he has a coach's mentality and brain, and that's exactly right. The way he sees the sport, Kevin, it slows down for him. And he's able to analyze it in a specific quarterback brain. And T is one of the smartest guys I've ever known. And you pair that up with football smarts, and he had plenty of it. He could have been an incredible coach, and I really wish he would have. I'd love to have done it with him.
Yeah, became a lawyer as well. I mean, just an incredible life, just far too short. But his adversity, he obviously was able to do a hell of a lot with it. An incredible person, and really sorry to hear the news yesterday. And I wish you the best, and thinking about all of you guys. Thanks for doing this, Kevin. Much appreciated.
Well, Kevin Sheehan, I just want you to know, thank you very much. I did this because T and I are big fans of yours and what you do, and a great guy in the community, a big-time Woods Academy guy, and I did it because we're fans of yours, and I knew T would appreciate that. So,
Kevin,
thank you very much for having me on here today, my man.
Yeah, I'll see you soon, and we'll certainly toast to T's life. Again, to his family, his parents, Mary and Rich, his wife, Leslie, the kids, to his brothers, who I've known for a while, Brett and Bo and Pooh, my condolences to all of you. What a life, just far too short. All right, that is it for the day. I will leave you with this. That alt uniform, the fourth, it's going to be the black alt uniform. And I think I'm going to be right, Max. I think it's going to be on Monday Night Football.
I hope you are.
Against Chicago.
I really hope you are. It's exciting.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be right about that. Let's just say that, you know, I got some information about 15, 20 minutes ago. Tim Strachan, loved the time that I was able to spend with you. Rest in peace. Back tomorrow, everybody.